Here is Newsline. Indonesian Trade Minister Budi Santoso announced the amendment process for Trade Minister Regulation No. 8 of 2024, which governs import policies and configurations, is expected to be completed next week. Minister Santoso told reporters in Jakarta on Sunday, the upcoming regulatory changes will not trigger a surge of imported goods that could potentially harm domestic labor-intensive industries, key business sectors, or national efforts toward food self-sufficiency. Indonesia's Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin has planned to conduct free health checks for students in 200,000 schools starting in July to accelerate the target of serving up to 300,000 people per day. In a discussion in Jakarta, the minister informed the program of free health checks has reached 5.8 million people since it was officially launched in February this year. The number of people receiving the services daily is recorded at 180,000, or around 4 million people per month. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia. Listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from Delantis. Delantis is an indie pop band from Jakarta, Indonesia, formed in 2019. Its members consist of Giri on the bass and vocals, Raffi on the guitar and vocals, and Ojan on the guitar. The name Delantis began to be known since releasing a song titled Lampu Merah or Traffic Light. In 2024, they released a full album titled Pancarona. The first single from this album is titled Bunga Maaf or Flower of Sorry, which was also released in the same year. This song is Delantis' first work to involve another musician in its production process, namely Randy Pandugo, who also plays a role as co-writer and producer. The song Bunga Maaf tells the story of someone who hopes for a second chance while that chance has been lost for a long time. Through this song, Delantis wants to describe a story of deep regret and empty hopes due to a relationship that was destroyed by ego in the past. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Delantis, Bunga Maaf. Happy listening.
Muka itu ada di sana yang ku tinggalkan saat kita masih bersama. Kini waktu terasa berbeda tanpa
bisa. of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Terbentang katulistiwa, di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOA listeners and viewers, this is Rahma presenting you our special interview from Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. And today, we talk about Australian and Indonesian films that we can watch in the same event. Australia Indonesian Film Festival, or FSAI, is the answer for you who would like to watch films from Australia and Indonesia. So to talk more about the event held by the Australian Embassy and Consul General in Indonesia, and also about the film industry itself, we're having a special interview today with an Australian film director and academician, Dr. Dean Jerkup, who is already joining us here in the studio of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to Voice of Indonesia, Mr. Jerkup. How are you today?
I'm great, Rachma. Thank you very much for having me. And it's been a pleasure to be in Jakarta for the last couple of days. We've had a really great time.
Oh, it's our pleasure as well to have you here in our studio. And first time here to Jakarta?
Absolutely. Second time to Indonesia. Like a lot of Australians, I've been to Bali, but first time to Jakarta.
First time to Jakarta to attend Australia-Indonesia Film Festival, but not only attend, because there's something special that Mr. Jerkup will present to filmmakers here. But we talk about the festival itself first, that is back in its 10th consecutive year. This year in 2025, back with the best Australian and Indonesian films. So as a film director, how do you see this event can showcase a rich variety of Australian and Indonesian films, culture and creative talents?
Oh, look, I think, just the broad array of films that are screening and the diversity of those of the content that the general public can go and have a look at. There's five Australian feature films that are screening, two of which have a connection with Indonesian alumni, and that's just a great representation of the fantastic relationship that Australia and Indonesia can have in a cultural space in filmmaking. So yeah, that's just wonderful to see. So a collaboration on the exhibition side, but collaboration on the production side as well.
Okay, but besides film screening, there are also master classes here in this event, in which you also present the materials in the master classes. So could you explain about this program?
Yeah, so I specifically will be running a masterclass in screenwriting. The masterclass will be me cherry picking what I believe are probably the essential sort of like stepping stones for somebody, because the sessions are publicly available to anybody from beginner level through to maybe a little bit of experience. What I feel just little pearls of wisdom which, can help someone on their way and hopefully put some wind in their sails and turn a phrase I use as put finger to keystroke and start writing.
Okay, so the materials will be a script writing or any other topics or themes will be presented?
For me, it's specifically script writing. There are other masterclasses running as well. And one of those looks at the transition transition from writing a novel into a screenplay,
and
that will also be conducted by a really well-known Indonesian writer who is also has experience in connection to Australia as well, and it's been a very successful film also in Indonesia. The title escapes me right now, but it'll be screening at FSAI.
Okay, yes. From novel to films, I think that's one of the hardest things to do, and sometimes I do not really meet the expectation of the readers and filmmakers. So we'll be finding out in the masterclass.
Yeah, it's absolutely a challenge, and but at the same time, I do feel that when done right, it can service both needs.
Okay, so the film screening, the master classes will be free for public?
Mm-hmm. And you can find out more information on the FSA website, which is fsai.id.
fsai.id. So we'll be screened, and also we'll be held the master classes in 10 cities.
Correct. Yeah, yes, it's traveling festival and 10 cities across Indonesia.
Plus one city, I guess, because previous year it was only 9 cities, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so very good news for listeners happening to be in Indonesia. Okay, and talking about film directing itself, we're curious, maybe we can have a little bit masterclass here.
Sure.
About the basic skill that we need to be a scriptwriter, film director, or a video editor. Maybe our listeners are also filmmakers or want to be filmmakers.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think what's amazing in this current era is that all the tools at the disposal to make a great film are really available to anybody in the general public. So there's an expression that we have these days that you can, instead of needing to do it from the outside in, you can do it from the inside out. What I would say with respect to screenwriting, directing, and video editing is that it's really interesting how those three connect. So from a video editing point of view, it's fantastic that if you do edit videos to begin with, particularly of other people's work, it can really inform you to be a director because you know what shots do or don't work from the editing process of stitching them together. I actually worked as a video editor in industry for a number of years before stepping into directing. And how that informed my directing process was that I knew whenever I was editing someone else's work, where I would find challenges and difficulties, that when I started directing myself, I could correct those mistakes so that when I had my work edited or was editing my work, I would have the shots that used to be problematic. From a scriptwriting side of things, the thing with scriptwriting or all of these disciplines really, they're lifelong journeys, but to be a great storyteller, you really have to be someone who, you know, loves to go out and observe life, channel that into your own stories, but at the same time, understand that life lived doesn't always make for the great story. It's then the way that you the extension upon that and create a singular journey for an individual that then it becomes engaging for an audience and you create obstacles. And we have an expression in screenwriting that the hero character needs to earn the outcome. So it can't be easy. And through those challenges, the audience identifies and engages with them. And that's what makes it relatable.
Okay. So does a film director have also to be able to edit videos and write scripts as well?
Yeah. I don't think necessarily it has to be a fundamental skill that they need. What I would say is it's advantageous. And the reason why it's advantageous is because it then allows the director who, you know, in the hierarchy of things is kind of towards the pointy end, as we would say. It gives them an appreciation of all the other disciplines that feed into the overall filmmaking process. So myself, I've edited films, I've written films, I've sound recorded on films, I've done some basic visual effects, and it gives me an appreciation for all those different departments and how they feed into making the end result, essentially the director's work, but it is also a collaboration as well. And so I would say to any aspiring filmmakers out there that just because you don't necessarily get the chance to direct on a project doesn't mean that you still can't contribute, and you can learn from being in those other departments, and it will make you a better filmmaker or director when you get the opportunity.
So if someone wants to become a film director, what to do first, the very first thing?
My advice would be to just get into the industry. in whatever toehold or footing that you can. Education is obviously very beneficial because that allows them to understand. So the education gives them a theoretical framework and potentially a practice framework from making films in an education environment, so that they can learn from their mistakes. And mistakes are good when the stakes themselves are low. So in other words, in an education environment, you can experiment, you can trial, you can prototype, whereas in commercial practice, you really need to make sure that the outcome is really strong. So education is good. Just getting out there and doing things is great. You can start, I would also say, start playing in the social media space. You know, TikTok, Instagram, these are all spaces now where filmmakers emerge. We have two really well-known filmmakers in Australia who made a very successful horror film that maybe some Indonesian viewers out there would know about, called Talk to Me. And the two brothers who directed Talk to Me, they started in YouTube, and they've gone on to do amazing things.
Just get into the industry. So many doors open nowadays, right?
Correct.
That after 20 years working in the film industry and be a lecturer or academician as well right now, how do you see film industry development in the world today?
That's a big question. it's really interesting. So it's very layered, more so than ever now. What we are seeing more and more of is shorter content. So it's what I also find really intriguing is we are seeing the content that people are making in social media blending into long form and Hollywood type filmmaking practice. So there's a lot of there's a lot of techniques that you will see in TikTok that are now being used in commercial cinema, which I'm finding is really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Like the what we call match cutting. So when you see an Instagram influencer or a TikTok performer where they're sort of cutting between all of their different wardrobe outfits or things like that, this is called match on action. And so I know the technical term that they're using, and that is a technique that is used in more traditional filmmaking practice as well. So we're seeing a lot of that. And we're also seeing storytelling changing as well. So by that, we're seeing a lot of the idea of the character-centered stories and original content versus things that are more branded and sort of comic book related and things like that are all, and world building is also a big thing that's happened over the last, say, 8 or 9 years as well. So when we talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and things like that, that is new to the world of storytelling.
Okay, so that's in the world. What about in Australia?
Okay, in Australia, we are still producing author-driven stories that are original content. And what we see in Australia at the moment is there's a great film that's just been released in Australia, actually. The title of it's called Spit, which is a sort of light sequel to a really well-known sort of crime caper film that was made many years ago called Getting Square, which launched the career of Sam Worthington, which most of the listeners out there would know Sam from. He's the lead character in the Avatar films. So, it's amazing where the road can start with a small Australian film like Getting Square and can lead to essentially the highest grossing box office film ever made in a very short period of time.
So the trend genre in Indonesia, in Australia, sorry, I mean.
Yeah, look, it's a mix. So some of it is a personal story. But then, as I just mentioned before, like with a film like Talk to Me, it's in the horror genre. Mm. And I know the horror genre is very popular in Indonesia.
Yes. I think the most popular one, I think. And not talking about film industry in Indonesia, we have data here from Cinepoint that until May 9, 2025, the number of Indonesian film viewers has reached more than 33.9 million.
Wow.
Or 41% of the total viewers last year. So what do you think about this increase?
Look, film viewership, and specifically in the cinema, is fantastic. That community, that communal experience of going and watching a film with a group of other people shouldn't be lost. And so if the Indonesian community is going to the cinema and it's growing, I think that's something that should be celebrated. What I've noticed about my engagement in Indonesia is all the different communities can tell their unique stories, and there is a base that will go and want to watch them. And I think that is something that that Indonesia should celebrate, because in other areas around the world, the cinema going population is dwindling. It's decreasing. What I think is something maybe worthwhile just touching on briefly is the recent release of the Hollywood game film in Minecraft was a really unique moment in cinema, because it became a really, particularly in Australia, this social engagement where there was this thing on screen called the chicken jockey, and everybody in the audience celebrated that moment. And what was amazing for me at the end of the Minecraft screening, which I went and saw with my son, was that the general public audience applauded at the end of the screening. And I've never been to a commercial cinema and watched a Hollywood film where the audience applauded. It's always only been in the spaces of film festivals and places like that. So for those reasons, I think it's great that there is still a thirst to go and see or go to the cinema.
Is that the chicken lover part?
Yeah, that's that moment where everybody threw popcorn. Yeah. I chose the cinema deliberately where I thought they would not throw popcorn, because I didn't, but they certainly got up and cheered for all of that. And I think, you know, as a community experience or as a communal experience, this is fantastic. Like, so there should be more of it, and therefore that can only, it can't happen in your lounge room at the same level as it can with, you know, another couple of hundred people around.
Okay, and another thing that Indonesians should celebrate, that the film genre that we mentioned before is horror, is the most popular one here in Indonesia. But there is an Indonesian animated film that has reached 9 million viewers.
Wow.
So the second top-selling films in Indonesia, and it will be also screened in Southeast Asia and also Europe. So really proud of this achievement. So when it comes to the achievement of Indonesian and Australian film industry, do you think it means that there is promising opportunities for Australian and Indonesian film industry to collaborate?
Absolutely is my short answer for that. But I will extend upon it that I've recently been working with a bunch of Indonesian practitioners, filmmakers across a variety of different disciplines, and their thirst to find common territory for storytelling and what we would refer to as a co-production is that they have a high appetite to do that. And I think that given our proximity and given a lot of shared values, that its potential is, it's an easy fit, for lack of a better description.
Okay. And still talking about the film trend as well, there's also a remake or reboot. Maybe our listeners and viewers are still confused about the difference, or any that trend as well in Australia?
Yeah, there have been some films that do get remade. What I would say to the listeners out there that I find really interesting is that it's that in the musical space, in the live theatre space, it's not uncommon for the same musical to be made year on year almost. And there's an audience that goes out there and doesn't judge the production. They just enjoy going and seeing it again. And there does seem to sometimes be a little bit of defensive defense over remaking a film. Now, in some instances, maybe that maybe it should stay sacred, but in other instances, you may want to think, well, what can someone else do with that? And perhaps keep an open mind to see what they can do. And if it's to their liking, or to a, you know, the audience that goes and sees it liking, then fantastic. Then that reimagining is something to be celebrated. For those that perhaps didn't like it, well, then, you know, maybe they should just continue watching the original version as well. So it's tricky territory, and I don't think that there's a you know, sort of black and white answer to it, but just keep an open mind about what you're going to see and the reasons why.
Okay. Now, a simple but a tricky question about a good film, according to you.
Yeah. Okay. This is a challenging question, and for me, a good film can be of any genre, as long as it speaks to its intended audience. Okay. So, and what I mean by that is that if you're going in, so there are certain people that don't like, let's use the example again, horror films. Okay. Yeah. But if you're going in there because you want to have that primal experience of being afraid, then there's nothing wrong with a good horror film. If you're somebody who's a little bit lonely in life and that you decide that you just want to feel a little bit, you know, have a sense of what it is to be loved and engage with that, then a good romantic comedy is going to, you know, sort of uplift you a little bit. If you're feeling a little bit down and you just need something to pick you up, then a good comedy is going to do that. So I don't think there is an expression in filmmaking called four quadrant films. So normally in filmmaking, an audience is divided up into four quadrants. Generally, it's a younger population and an older population. Four quadrant films are very rare. When they do reach an audience and are successful, they're generally box office hits. But as I'll go back to it, you would go, or what makes a great film is because it speaks to you in a certain way, and when you leave the cinema, you feel better about yourself. You might feel petrified, but you went there for a reason. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. So, and to end our interview, please say something about Australia Indonesia Film Festival to our listeners and viewers who are now in Indonesia, so that they can enjoy this festival, not only the films from Australia and Indonesia, but also the master classes and so on, please.
I'd just simply say, come on down. It doesn't matter that if you're a seasoned professional or if you're someone from the general public, who we would hope is fascinated with how films are made right from the get-go, and we can talk about screenwriting, that there'll be something there for you, either to watch or to learn from. And as I said earlier on, it's playing across 10 territories. So the chance and possibility of going engaging with it, there's plenty of that to go around. And if you'd like to know more, go and visit the FSA website, which is fsai.id.
Okay, noted. Highlighted and bold, fsai.id, to know more about Australian and Indonesian Film Festival from May 16 to June 2025. So, Dr. Dean Jirgop, thank you so much for sharing your information about this festival and also your insight about film industry. And hope you enjoyed our interview here on Voice of Indonesia, and also we'll be looking forward for the masterclass as well in the Australian and Indonesian Film Festival.
My pleasure, Rachma. Thank you for having me.
Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, that's today's special interview with the Australian film director and academician, Dr. Dean Jirgop. And stay tuned for more inspiring and insightful talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bila tersayang jatuh di pangkuan, tiada keinginan hatiku menyayang selain dirimu. Bila tercinta padamu seorang semampu diriku. Selama bersama akan hanya ada cinta. Semenjak bersama takkan ada hasrat. Hilangkan cinta yang telah ada untuk selamanya.
Takkan habis cintaku kepadamu. Takkan nanti aku menyayangimu.
Bila terkasih mendambakan mimpi, ku coba sanggupi untuk ku memberi mimpi yang terindah. Selama bersama tiada hendakku berpisah. Ada kita, coba bersumpah saling mencinta untuk selamanya. Seperti cintaku padamu. Kan hanya ada cinta. Semenjak bersama takkan ada hasrat. Hilangkan cinta yang telah ada untuk selamanya.
Habis cintaku kepadamu.
over 17,000 islands stretching between two oceans. Studded with more active volcanoes than anywhere else. Dazzling natural beauty and biologic diversity. Discover Indonesia's eco-adventure. Home to one of the new seven wonders in nature. An extensive network of national parks and nature preserves. Protecting its ecology and biodiversity. Boasting fascinating natural diversity and tropical climate all year round. Ecotourism in Indonesia offers a wide range of exciting outdoor recreation. Exploring nature in unimaginable ways. Adventurous journeys through untamed wilderness. A multitude of opportunities to interact with wildlife in numerous national parks across the country. Home to 28,000 kinds of flowering plants and 300,000 wildlife species. Four of the parks have been declared as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Eight are listed as biosphere reserves. Keeping balance between preservation and development. The seascape scenery is as stunningly diverse as the landscape. Unique eco-friendly resorts providing thrilling excitement and environmental sustainability. The epicenter of marine biodiversity. More than 600 species of coral, over 3,000 fish species. The natural wonders of Indonesia. Nature and ecotourism. Wonderful Indonesia.
Keyword of the day. Intelligence without love is dangerous, and love without intelligence is not enough. A quote by B.J. Habibie. Baharudin Yusuf Habibie, or B.J. Habibie, was born in Parepare, South Sulawesi, on June 25, 1936. B.J. Habibie is a politician, engineer, and scientist, dubbed as the father of aircraft, for successfully building the first aircraft in Indonesia in 1995. Habibie's ingenuity gave a great influence in the development of aviation technology, domestically and abroad. Listener, that's quote of the day from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice Indonesia. We are
today's sound.
Yakin dalam hatiku, kau satu yang ku perlu. Ku rasa hanya dirimu yang membuatku rindu. Bila saat nanti kau milikku, ku yakin cinta karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Hingga ku pasti menunggu selama apapun itu, demi cinta yang ku rasakan, yang hanyalah kepadamu. Percayalah ku sungguh-sungguh mengatakan semua. Yakinkan hatimu kau milikku, karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Oh, karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Oh, karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song from Mentawai entitled Polak Tetu. The song Polak Tetu was composed by Mato Samalingai. The song tells the story of the beautiful Mentawai Island with its rich forest. The song lyrics also remind the younger generation not to exploit the land, forest, and timber on Mentawai Islands. Well, listener, here is the traditional song from Mentawai Islands called Polak Tetu by Mato Samalingai. Enjoy!
Thank you. sun.